Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
And welcome to our St. Andrew's podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us yet again for another great episode. We are going to be starting a series on understanding grace today, and I'm really excited again to have our senior pastor, D.A. Bennett, in studio with us. He truly is, although he would not say this because he is too humble, but he truly is an expert on this topic, so I'm really excited to be talking with you about it today. D.A., how are you?
I wish everybody could see this on video. I'm shaking my head no when you're calling me an expert. Right. So I don't even have to pray God to forgive me for how good that felt. But yeah, thank you so much. Right. I don't know that I'm an expert, but I've certainly devoted a lot of time to this over the years, thinking and learning about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to visit about it because I think it's something that we talk a lot about. Grace is something that we spend a lot of time on, and yet a lot of times we don't really dive as deep into it as we should. And so In our last podcast, we talked about ways to stay connected to Christ when we are trying to disconnect maybe from our community of faith during the summer months. And so we really were encouraging everyone to be intentional about their discipleship, even in these summer months when things change up a little bit. And it's our desire to help you stay connected. And so this podcast series is going to be teaching on our United Methodist understanding of God's grace. We hear the word grace used a lot in church, and perhaps the most well-known hymn of the church is
Amazing Grace. Yeah,
so we are careful, and we want to really talk about what is a good definition of grace. So tell us a little bit about that, D.A.
All righty. Well, first of all, in thinking about this, I suddenly found myself thinking I was being interviewed by the Conference Board of Ordained Ministry, because if a person is trying to be ordained, one of the questions we ask is, what is your United Methodist understanding of grace? And I will say, it's actually a much more helpful and thought-provoking teaching than what we might think. We think, understanding, you know, it's not really exciting, but it really is, because grace is a concept that's easy to understand in one sense, but it's certainly worthy of deeper study in another sense, because God's grace is something I think we continue to learn about as we grow in relationship with Christ.
Yes.
The closer we grow in relationship with Christ, the closer we grow to Christ, the more we are aware of how truly amazing this gift of grace is.
Right.
And so some have sought to define grace by using an acronym, God's Riches at Christ's Expense, G-R-A-C-E.
Oh, I see. Yep.
And that's really not a bad way to think about it, because God's grace was revealed clearly through what Jesus does for us and the cross and through the resurrection. One of the things that I looked up in thinking about this, I've got a book called Vine's Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, which is not nearly as exciting as it sounds. But it says that grace is the disposition from which kindly acts proceed.
Oh, wow.
So if I saw someone on the side of the road with engine trouble or a flat tire, and I stop and offer them my help, you know, maybe I change the tire for them, then my disposition would be seen as being one that is full of grace. A simple definition that I have always used in defining grace is that God is doing something for us that God does not have to do. So whenever we as a human race were distant from God because of our sin, when there was this impassable chasm between us and God, God chose to come to us. And that is something that God did not have to do.
Right.
So we go back to that old hymn, Amazing Grace, and what we tend to think of is grace that saved a wretch like me. And subsequently, when we think of grace, a lot of the time what we're talking about is what we would call saving grace.
Now,
saving, it's not genuinely or typically a phrase we use a lot in the Methodist Church, and I think that is sometimes sad, because that is a word that Scripture uses.
Yeah.
But when we think of grace, even though it is larger than saving grace.
Yeah.
Saving grace is typically what we think of, and that's kind of how I hope we approach this and talk about it.
That's so interesting. Okay, so in the Wesleyan tradition, which is most of where our United Methodist roots come from, we find a unique way of thinking about God's grace. Wesley had a structure of different ways that we experience God's grace, and the first part of that structure is called prevenient grace. So can you help us understand this experience of prevenient grace?
I hope so. I can talk about it. I hope I can help us understand it. So when we define grace, God doing something for us that God does not have to do. So let's just define the word prevenient, because that is not a word that we use very often.
That's right.
In fact, I don't know of any place outside the church that I have ever used that word. But most of us, when we would look at it, we would say, well, that simple prefix, prevenient, P-R-E, that pre means come before. So we would get that part right.
Yeah.
But it's this idea of venient that is a little more confusing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the idea of venient, it actually comes from a derivative of a Latin word that means to come. Mm-hmm. So the latter part of that word venient is come before.
Right.
Whenever a pilot's getting ready to fly a plane, at least I really trust this is what pilots do if I'm getting on the train or someone I love is getting on a plane, is they do pre-flight.
Yes.
You know, they're doing their work before the flight to actually get things ready.
Right.
And so prevenient grace means come before. Prevenient grace is a term that John Wesley used to talk about how it is we experience the grace of God for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
How it is we experience the grace of God before we come to faith in Christ. Maybe even, you know, if someone grows up and they've never heard the name of Jesus, or they don't know the story of the Bible, they don't know what God is doing in things, that does not mean that God is still not active in trying to pursue a relationship with every person.
Mm-hmm.
And so the experience of grace that they have, it's that we'd say, well, that's prevenient. It comes before their full acceptance of God's grace.
I love that, because it really shows God's nature to us. I think that's really, really amazing. So this seems pretty simple and easy. So this idea of grace that comes before, so prevenient grace is a way every person can experience God before they come to a place of making the commitment to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So how would we understand God reaching out to us with grace?
You know, it's interesting. And in trying to think of an answer to that question, I keep going back to the lyrics of Amazing Grace. I can't believe Charles Wesley didn't write it, because so much of what is in there sounds very Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go back to that line, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I
once was lost, but now I'm found. Right.
So if I am found, if you are found, if we say about people they are found, it means that somebody was looking for me.
Mm-hmm.
When our sin has separated us from God and we try to live life wandering around, we may not, you know, I think there are people that don't look for God.
Right.
They're looking for something, or maybe they're looking for someone, and that's why it's important as followers of Jesus that we're witnessing to our faith.
Right.
But when people are wandering around aimlessly, lost, blind, however that song and however it is we talk about it, the good news of grace is God is looking for us. If we can't find God, fear not, brothers and sisters, God is looking for us.
That's so good.
And so this is one of the key understandings that we have about disciples, is any relationship that we have with Christ is one that we did not initiate.
Right.
When talking about our need for salvation, a lot of people, a lot of other churches, and this is not judgmental of them, I don't mean for this to sound condemning in any way, but most people just start with the bad news.
Right.
You know, you're a sinner.
Right.
You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And certainly that is a part of what we have to understand.
Right.
But any hope that any person has for salvation does not start with that person.
No.
It starts with God, and that God pursues us with this kind of holy passion that God has. I think of the scripture where it says, you know, God does not want anybody to perish.
Uh-uh.
And so people that may be perishing, God does not want them to perish. And so he's looking for them and reaching out to them and extending grace to this.
That's a good word.
Thank you. Whenever we are teaching our children of confirmation, or even this fall when we do the Methodism 101 class, and we talk about our United Methodist understanding for grace, we always talk about prevenient grace is God trying to establish a relationship with us prior to any commitment that we might make to Christ. And and along those lines, I have a great illustration. This thing is so old. I mean, it's not as old as the hymn Amazing Grace, but it's older than St. Andrews.
Oh, wow.
And so I like to talk about two of my friends, Roger and Sandy. Sandy's mother was our church secretary when I served the church in Tahlequah. You know, I was just a few months away from Robin and I getting married, and Sandy and Roger were in town, and they were pretty recently married within a couple of years.
Okay.
And so we're riding around, and I asked him, I said, you know, so how did y'all meet? And they just started laughing.
Oh.
And because, you know, the story is, it's one today. It's like, ooh, where's this going? Sandy was in high school.
Okay.
And Roger was a student teacher. And Sandy, gosh, she just really wanted to know Roger. She had a hard crush on him. And so when Roger would be wandering around the school, and this is in a small town, so the high school couldn't have been very big, but every time he got out of class, every time he went somewhere, Sandy was there. she had memorized his schedule. So, you know, if he got out a second hour and he was headed to the teacher's lounge, she was there. when he got out of third hour and it was time for lunch, she was there by the you know, faculty cafeteria.
Yes.
If he went to get a drink of water, she was there. You know, we have a word for
this
today.
We do have a word.
You know, I mean, she was stalking this dude because she wanted a relationship with him so strongly that she just made sure every time he turned around, he could not ignore her. He was going to see her. He was going to notice this perky little blonde that just, you know, I'm sure he was going to whoever he was student teaching for saying, you got to tell me about this. And they're probably saying, I mean, you just avoid that at all costs. And he did, of course, until she graduated from high school, and then there were no prohibitions on them dating.
Right.
And as they started dating, they decided they wanted to make a commitment to each other. And I think this helps us to understand what God's hope for us is, that God pursues a relationship with us. He knows when we wake up in the morning. He knows when we lie down at night. He knows when we stand, when we sit, when we walk, when we eat. God just is always there. And through our own eyes and experiences, sometimes if we are really looking for God, we see that God's there. Now, for some people, that becomes a turnoff. You know, I don't want to keep bumping into God. But in every case, God is there. And I always imagine Jesus just standing there with a smile on his face thinking, you know, hey, let's talk. Hey, let's have coffee. Because what God is trying to do is win our hearts. That's what Sandy was trying. She was trying to win Roger's heart, and she did. So when I think of prevenient grace, that is what I think of. If we were to define this in terms of a human relationship, and again, this is how we describe it in confirmation, it's like dating. The commitment level, we see each other, we might be interested in each other, we want to find out more about each other, but at that point, there's really no exclusive kind of commitment. And in Sandy and Roger's case, obviously, when they get engaged and become married, that becomes an exclusive relationship. And I think that's what God wants from us. But prevenient grace is the starting point.
That is so good. And I love the fact that it, again, it shows us who God is. And we have this desire, each one of us, to be wanted. And the fact that the creator of the universe pursues us is
it's amazing.
It's incredible.
It's really
exactly. It's amazing grace. So that's such good news. So, okay, so I want to just throw a little wrinkle into this.
Because
I don't want this to be easy for you.
I'm
going to make you work at this.
Because
you are. That's exactly right. Okay, so let's suppose that someone is getting to know God better. Okay.
They're in that dating kind of
period.
Right.
They're getting to know him. They're in this phase. And maybe they did not grow up in church or around people who claim to be disciples, so they don't really know what that looks like. But they're experiencing this prevenient grace in a way that God is really capturing their attention and a part of their heart.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they start going to church.
Good.
but something bad happens.
Bad?
Something bad happens. Uh-oh. And as a result of that bad experience with a Christian, they choose to turn away from the church and they turn away from God altogether. So, Mr. Expert, what can a good understanding of prevenient grace help us to understand in this kind of situation?
You know, the sad thing about that wrinkle is you and I both know, and I'm betting a lot of our listeners know, that does happen.
Yeah,
we never feel good about that. If someone's listening to this and you've had a bad experience at church, I can't promise you if you came to St. Andrews it would be different, but I certainly hope it would be.
Right.
Because I think this is an important consideration. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there are experiences where people searching for God encounter the worst parts of the church. Mm-hmm. I actually have a book in my library. It wasn't the best book in the world when I read it, but I was captured by the title. You can't judge a book by the cover, but sometimes we judge a book by the title. Mm-hmm. And the title of this book is When Bad Christians Happen to Good People.
That's funny.
And the saddest part of that is, I mean, there are just times that we as followers of Christ do actually mess up.
Yeah.
And so I've heard stories about people growing in their knowledge of Jesus Christ or their curiosity about Jesus. And this offer of saving grace that he offered, I mean, people, they learn that and they get curious about it. Mm-hmm. But whenever they get turned off by the church, it seems that their life is worse than ever. Mm-hmm. And by saying it was worse than ever, what I mean by that is that all of a sudden, because of what they experienced in the church, they no longer want anything to do with God, and perhaps they live in open defiance of anything that God might want for us. All of us have heard the testimony of people say, well, you know, I'm so angry about God and I'm so angry about the church because I went to church and something bad happened.
Right.
And that wasn't at all the message of love and grace that people were talking to me about. And so one of the things that I believe is prevenient grace teaches us that even if we give up on God, even if we say, I'm never going back there, you know, and we sell our Bible in a garage sale, you know, we do all those things. Even if we give up on God, God does not give up on us.
Mm.
And I'm certain that people would expect me to say that, but it's such good news because God continues to hunger for that relationship with us. God is going to continue to show up when we lie down and when we get up and when we're walking and when we're moving. The greatest example that I can think of is the parable of the prodigal son. If any of our listeners are unfamiliar with that particular parable of Jesus, you can find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Mm-hmm. It's a very short reading, but it's a very powerful teaching because the son wanted nothing to do with his father. In fact, when he says, you know, give me my inheritance, what he is saying to his father is, Dad, you're dead to me.
Right.
I'm not your son. Just give me my stuff and I'll go. And I think that sometimes people are, God, you're just dead to me. I don't want anything to do with you. And that doesn't change how God feels about us at all.
Mm-mm.
It does not change at all. God wants that whole amazing grace thing.
Yeah.
And so the thing about prevenient grace is this. We can never be so bad. We can never be so wicked. We can never be so evil that God doesn't want anything to do with us. There's no crime. There's no sin. There's no rebellion that a person can live by that will ever make God think, oh, nope, I love everybody but that one.
Right,
nope,
right.
That one's too bad or too sinful. God continues to reach out to us so that we can then have that next experience of grace.
Yeah.
God wants us to experience what we call justifying grace. I know that's what we're going to talk about next week, but the groundwork of God pursuing a relationship with us, this idea that we can be saved no matter how wretched we are, that all starts with God. And so grace is God doing something for us God doesn't have to do. It is God truly reaching out with love and calling us by mercy. It's not the anger and the wrath of God that makes people want to come to him. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Yeah. And so, yeah, this,
so
this
true.
Whole
oh,
idea
man,
of
that's
grace is
good
awesome.
News. That's such good news. Well, friends, I hope that you will continue on this journey with us as we keep looking at the different experiences of grace that God gives to us. And if you have more questions about this, or if this idea of prevenient grace has really captured your attention, then I hope you'll reach out to Pastor D.A. or myself. We would love to give you some things that you can read and the scriptures about that if you're curious, or just answer some questions. Maybe some experiences in your own life have led you to have some more questions about this. So reach out to us here at St. Andrews.
Yeah, one of the scriptures that just came to mind while you were saying that is a scripture that says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So before we even knew God, before we were born, God was already taking care of this ability for us to have a relationship with Him.
Yes, it's just so true. It's so true because God is so very good. So, friends, I hope you'll join us next week as we look at the second experience of grace, a justifying grace, with our expert on the panel. We're so excited to have him.
Are we bringing in a guest next week?
No, we don't even need guests for this one. This is very exciting. So I hope you'll join us then. And please, again, reach out to us here at St. Andrews. We would always love to see you here on site. Our services are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50 every Sunday morning. And again, you can find us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live at 8:15 or 10:50 every week as well. So we hope that you will be blessed. We pray God's richest blessings upon you in this day.